Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Cargill, featuring Pro Pricing Grain Contracts, a marketing program providing a variety of contracts designed to fit a farmer's performance goals and risk tolerance. Information on the web at cargillpropricing.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 4th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. Just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear how some returning servicemen are coping after their extended stays in Iraq. NPR's John McChesney traveled Minnesota recently, and he caught up with a farm family. We'll hear how Don and Jody Kramer managed Don's time away and about the impact his return has had. It all happens on this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
I'm Celeste Quinn, host of the Afternoon Magazine. Set your alarm for the Power Hour, 7 a.m., Thursday, October 11th.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at 19.5 lower settled at $9.16. December contract for the soft red at 9.06 on the nearby. Down 21 cents for the day. December corn futures down 2.25 at 342 and 1/4. The March contract at 359, down 2 cents. And the May futures at 369 and 3/4 were down 1.75 in the corn. December contract next year, $3.94 and 3/4, down 0.75. November soybeans, 954.25, up 3.25. The January's up 2.75 at 972.25. And the March futures at 984.25, up 3 for the day. November soybeans next year, 949.25, down 1/4. October bean meal futures at 265.70, down 40. October bean oil up 44 at 38.55. Live cattle futures at the Mercantile Exchange, October contract, a 25-cent gain at $95.35 a hundredweight. December futures at $97.85, up 45. October feeder cattle, $115 even, a dime higher. November's at $35 higher, $115.05. October lean hogs were down 2.5 cents today at $58.65. From the outside markets, nearby November oil at $81.52, $1.58 higher. December crude at $80.72 a barrel, up $1.70. The CRB index at 330.13 is now $1.90 higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands just about 5 points lower at 13,963 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace as you see the last week and that big down day that we had this week.
Well, I think you have to, at least today, be a little concerned with the wheat market, the way the wheat market performed. We got a bullish set of weekly export sales numbers, but on the other hand, we got a Canadian crop estimate that's probably a little larger than what the trade was expecting, and the market failed really to follow through on yesterday's strong upside performance. So I think the way the wheat market closed today kind of suggests, or it highly implies, that we're going to see some more downward adjustment in wheat prices, and if that's the case, then corn will probably suffer the most, because corn has been getting a lot of its stabilization or upside strength from the sharply higher wheat market. And if the wheat market would enter a period of consolidation, a lot of choppy downward type price action, then that would probably allow the corn market to maybe drift down a lot lower than what a lot of people was probably planning on over the next week or two.
Do you have a target down there somewhere? Is it 310, 320? What's your target?
Well,
on the
let's take one step at a time. I think the mid-40s are pretty good support. But now today you can kind of see we slipped below the mid-40s, and now we're down in the lower 340s. I think this lower 340s is a spot of support. This kind of takes us back to where we were probably the first part of September. But I suppose if the lower 40s don't give way, people will begin to kind of talk about a test of the lower end of the range that we kind of saw during the month of July and August, and that would be the 325 area or so.
How about the beans at this time?
The beans are still technically in pretty good shape, and they're finding support from a drier weather pattern in South America. The northern part of Brazil is dry, so they're finding some support there. I don't think it's all clear-cut whether or not we're going to see a higher soybean yield. I know that there's a lot of good soybean yields out there, but there are some lighter yield estimates coming in on the smaller side or the lower side of trade expectations. So I'm not for certain it's all a guarantee that we're going to see a higher production number next week. Demand for soybeans still remain very, very strong. So soybeans, I think, are still in pretty good shape. But if you would happen to, get the wheat market turned down and the way the corn chart looks after this week's decline, I'm sure that the soybean market then would kind of slip back also here. We are in the middle of harvest where we've got a good crop out there, and the weather forecast is pretty well open, so we're going to see a lot of harvest activity over the next several days.
What kind of numbers do you expect the trade will come out with beyond the FC Stone numbers for next week's USDA reports and crop production?
Well, I think the FC Stone number was basically, pretty well accepted. I know that a lot of people used it as a reason why the market went down, but I think ever since corn harvest started, the average, the talk among the trade was to at least look for USDA to bump up the national average yield a couple bushels, and I think there's some expectations that that might even go a little higher. So I think the trade is going to look for a pretty good corn crop going into next Friday's report, whether that's two bushels higher or four bushels higher. So I think we're going to be looking at a pretty big crop. And then there's some worry that, domestic or ethanol demand would maybe be cut some because we are awash of ethanol supplies at the moment. We just don't have enough blend capacity to move that. Those ethanol inventories into the marketplace. So I think the trade's going to gear up for a bearish October corn report. Soybeans, I think that's going to be a mixed bag. I do think, though, we'll probably see a slight upward revision maybe in yield, but not for certain in that yet. I think Informa Economics is supposed to be out tomorrow, so they'll kind of lay the marker down, I think, for what the trade's looking at. The thing that I would caution is that October crop reports are noted for acreage adjustments, and we could see some acreage adjustments, and I think they could go either way on that. That is probably where the trade could get caught at, maybe being too bearish if USDA decided that the acres were a shade large. But on the other hand, if they push them upward, that would really add some bearish fuel to the fire in here.
Are you a willing seller of cash grain, corn, or soybeans at this point?
Well, I think it depends upon where you're at in the sales game. If you're sold up, you probably got some time to wait it out. But you do have to look at the price levels we are looking at, and you have to look at the yields you're bringing home. And I think you have to look at per acre revenue, per acre gross, and I think you have to make that decision based upon your revenue a lot rather than the per bushel price. So we do have some good prices here. A lot of it just depends upon where you're at, I suppose, on the sales ladder, Todd.
And then tell me about the technical picture in the wheat, where you are in cycles at this point, and whether you think a high is due.
Well, when you look at wheat, you know, you begin to get a little worried that we could be in a position to kind of set back for a couple weeks. And any time you look at a market that's vulnerable for a couple weeks of weakness, then you always worry about, well, how much is that? And is that going to be deep enough to tear up the underlying chart pattern? And I would say it could be. When you look at corn, though, corn's kind of in a window here that maybe in another week or so you could be looking at a 10-week cycle low in corn. That's the same way in soybeans. Soybeans are kind of due for an 8-week cycle low. This week's price action, depending upon how we finish out tomorrow, suggests that maybe the wheat or the bean market may have made an 8-week cycle low a shade early. Therefore, it's kind of expecting maybe USDA's crop report to be slightly friendly, or the foreign weather in Brazil is going to take the dominant feature in soybeans and provide some underlying support to the soybean market. So I think you have to say that we're at a critical window here, that the market is ripe for some softness, but I'm not necessarily convinced that it's devastating. But we are in harvest. It is October, and a lot of times the market comes under hedge pressure at this point.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Thursday afternoon at the bottom of the hour. Agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. AM 580's own chief meteorologist Ed Kieser says the forecast for this evening is easy, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range between 60 and 66. Across the two-state region tomorrow, a mix of clouds, some sunshine with a few scattered showers developing, highs ranging between 83 and 89. The wind speeds tomorrow between 5 and 15 miles an hour. The extended forecast, near record warmth expected over the weekend. High temperatures will be in the mid-80s to the low 90s, and the lows will be in just the 60s overnight. Very warm weather should continue right on into Monday, but temperatures will likely be trimmed a few degrees due to more clouds and the afternoon scattered showers. More of the Closing Market Report coming up. Stay with us. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I was listening to NPR on the way into work this morning, and once I got here, I had to sit in the car for just a little bit longer to hear the end of this story. Thought it might be worth rerunning this afternoon for you. You know, the Minnesota National Guard's 1st Combat Brigade recently returned from some tough duty in Iraq, and they served there for 22 months, 4 months longer than normal after the Pentagon extended their tour, and that's had a huge impact on the families left behind. Last spring, NPR's John McChesney drove across Minnesota to see how the soldiers' loved ones were coping. Today, he visits them again, and he tells us that the families are still adjusting, even after the troops have come home.
We started in St. Paul with the family of Daisy and Ron Michael Pellant. We had visited Daisy and the four kids back in March, right after the extension was announced. Snow was on the ground then, and a remodel of their bungalow had been put on hold. It's 4 p.m, and Daisy rushes in from daycare with 2-year-old Lucy.
I don't know what condition her diaper's in, but it's all yours.
You know, she always says, 22 months, 22 months. You know, oh, Lucy needs her diaper changed. 22 months.
22 months, just to remind him.
Like the other soldiers we visited, Ron Michael, or RM as he's known, joined the National Guard in college in the 1980s and had no idea he would ever be deployed for 22 months. Neither did his wife, Daisy.
But she didn't volunteer for that. You know, there's that whole spousal side of it where they didn't know they were getting into this. You know, I ditch her with four kids after one was born. 2 weeks after Lucy was born, I'm gone. And it's like, okay, you take care. You know, I'll email you.
The Pellants say they're adjusting fairly well after RM's long absence, but there have been a few rough patches with the kids, especially Ruby, who is 9.
My dad, when he came home, it was like a couple of weeks till I realized that he was making jokes that really bothered me. Like making a joke teasing, but then it really hurts a person's feelings.
I made jokes at the wrong time, didn't I?
Really wrong.
And I had to learn that, you know, sometimes you just can't tell jokes when somebody's trying to be serious.
He's much better at it now.
Thank you. I've been working at it extremely hard.
Daisy Pellant is working on a PhD in developmental psychology and found out that RM would be deployed 9 hours before she had to face her oral exams.
After he left, there were times when I felt angry and I had to deal very directly with just feeling angry for being dumped with this humongous load and for something we didn't even believe in. That was hard.
From St. Paul, we drove north for an hour to the tiny town of Princeton, where Linda Anderson and First Sergeant Randy Hatch live in a country home. When we were here in March, Linda was bitter about the 4-month extension. She still is.
March 18th was when he was coming home. I was going to pick him up at the airport on March 18th. I knew that. And when that vaporized in front of me, it became very difficult to really care about much.
Linda says she stopped sending pictures and her emails became perfunctory. The extension had a deadening effect on their relationship.
This was hellish in a way that I could never have anticipated.
But she says their 20 years of marriage has provided a foundation to build on.
And you can burn the house down, but you still got the basement. I mean, there's still the blocks there. Well, the house got burnt down. So now I feel like we're rebuilding the house.
I needed to learn to devote my energy to Linda. And we had some pretty frank discussions right off the get-go when I got home.
Hatch says he's pretty hopeful about their relationship, but he says he's having to learn his job as a water treatment engineer all over again. From Princeton, we drove southwest across the state to the lower corner near Iowa and South Dakota. Last time we were here, it was bitter cold and patches of snow dotted the black soil. Now, an endless golden sea of corn ripples in the wind, awaiting the combine. Jody and Don Kramer live literally across the street from Iowa. 3 of the 6 Kramer kids roar up into the front yard on an ATV.
On our way back, he can drive.
I don't care. Yes, he can drive.
The kids then tear off down the country road.
Are they supposed to be driving on the road? Can't they go?
It's the only way they can get over there, Jody's on the road.
All right, I don't agree with
that. It's a small road.
A tiny parental disagreement, but perhaps indicative of deeper issues. Don is a captain in the guard. While he was gone, Jody held down her CPA business, took care of 6 kids, and with some help, also ran the farm. She was in charge here, and Don was in command in Iraq.
I seem to get pretty angry pretty fast. I don't give him a lot of room. But I'm used to doing it this way and in this order, and sometimes he discombobulates that a bit.
I'm not used to discussing things before I want to decide something, so that's something I got to get used to again.
He wasn't used to it when he first got home and went looking for his caulking gun. Jody had reorganized his tools while he was away.
And he came home and announced that, how good is that? I mean, if I want to drive to the field, I got to load 10 boxes in the back of my truck. I need a little bit of this and a little bit of that, not all of it. So I threw up my hands and said, fine, do your own thing. Just get them out of my garage. Your garage, our garage.
These couples believe that they can work through the issues created by such a long deployment. But for Sergeant Karsten Backlund, it's too late. I first met him in Iraq last January. He told me then he was having trouble keeping his home security business afloat during the long deployment, but he didn't mention he was going through a divorce. He talked with us in St. Paul at a conference organized by the Minnesota Guard to help soldiers readjust.
I've lots of, I don't want to say hatred, but I'm very disappointed and hurt about how it all happened because I was gone. She was able to move on, do what she needed to do, meet new people, start a new life and everything, and I had to put mine on pause. So it's been real hard to sit in a house all by yourself again.
Backlund has a 3-year-old daughter.
Now it's, I don't want to be with you, and that's really tough to deal with when they cry for 30, 45 minutes saying, I don't want to be with you.
Chaplain John Morris of the Minnesota National Guard has been monitoring the condition of the state's Guard families.
When people say there's not a draft, that's wrong. There is a draft. I volunteered. My family got drafted. And the sad reality is we are crushing families.
John McChesney, NPR News.
By the way, I tried to track down Don and Jody Kramer, the farmers from southwest Minnesota, in this story. I left a message of thanks on what I suppose was their home phone. Speaking of which, if you are a veteran or a current serviceman or woman, thank you very much for the sacrifices you have or are making for this nation. The United States of America owes you a debt, and you have our gratitude.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
27 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time on a Thursday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market with Bill Mayer of Rochag Marketing. He's located in the elevator in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Some of the farmers in your area wrapping up corn harvest?
Yeah, we actually have seen some finish here this week. And I don't know, if I were to just guess, I would probably guess that we're somewhere in that two-thirds to three-quarters done with the corn and beans. Well, beans may be a little bit further along than that, actually.
And then talk to me just a little bit about how basis performed all the way through the process in your area, because it ought to be, I would think, starting to perform just a little better at this point.
Well, we've actually got a pretty interesting situation. You know, you're seeing more and bigger piles on the ground this year, but really, if just stepping back and looking at it, I mean, the harvest is going along fairly smooth. I've heard several elevators I've talked to that have had 3 to 4 times the amount of corn that they've handled in September than past years. So it is getting put away. And then on the other side of it, you have the farmer really not really interested in making corn sales. So the basis has been kind of starting to improve here. And we've seen some, you know, steady along the river to a little bit better, 3 to 5 cents better in some ethanol and some processor markets. And, you know, harvest is getting through this area, like we said, around 65-70% done probably. So we're probably not there, but we're getting closer to being through the worst of it, I think.
Does it make you cautious at all with the wheat starting to weaken just a bit about what the futures might do once we get through the harvest season and into November and December and January?
Well, no doubt. I think that the corn market has kind of been a follower here, and I guess I'm a believer that the corn market would be lower right now had it not been for the strength of the wheat that we've seen this fall. I guess, yes, I've got some concern, and my concern is that we do the same thing that we did with the corn last year, that we get these good prices on wheat, and we probably overdo it a little bit on acres and see more acres of wheat go in maybe than what we need. So that's going to probably take the wheat prices down eventually.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, $2.95, beans, $8.95.
Bill, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer is with Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Students, staff, and faculty at the University of Illinois are now able to add devices that accept text messages to a notification system for campus emergencies. The program sends instant email and text alerts to those who sign up. Assistant U of I Police Chief Jeff Christensen says the program's been 3 years in the making, well before the Virginia Tech shootings prompted better ways to disseminate emergency information to people on college campuses. There's more testing to be done with the system. A coroner's autopsy confirms the cause of death of a man who was hit by a hit-and-run driver yesterday morning in Danville. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says 20-year-old Lester Davis died of traumatic head injuries from the incident. Davis died at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Police in Danville are still trying to find the driver responsible. The utility company Ameren says it'll begin disconnecting service today to customers who are more than 3 months late paying their electric bills. The power company says customers with delinquent bills can call the company to arrange a payment plan or apply for financial aid. Ameren had put off disconnections as it negotiated with the Illinois legislature over a rate relief plan. The firing of a wife of a top aide to House Speaker Michael Madigan could add more acrimony to the year-long fight between Madigan and Governor Rod Blagojevich. Bronwyn Raine's contract as a psychologist with the State Department of Human Services was terminated last week by the Blagojevich administration. She's the wife of Madigan's chief of staff, Tim Mapes. The administration says Raines was let go because the federal government changed job qualifications for the federally funded position. It insists that politics had nothing to do with the move. But some House Democrats say the perception is that it's retribution for Madigan's fight with the governor over the state budget and other issues. Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama has stopped wearing the American flag lapel pin. That's become a common symbol of patriotism since September 11th. He was asked about it yesterday during an interview with a TV station in Iowa. The Illinois senator says he hopes to show his patriotism by explaining his ideas to citizens. Obama's campaign spokesman Tommy Vietor says Obama doesn't plan to say any more about his decision. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. A Thursday afternoon, we're joined now by Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the globe as well. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like it's going to be, at least for October, hot over the next several days.
Oh, yes, indeed, it will be. We've got, I guess, almost a week of this, but principally the next few days, we're going to see temperatures pushing record highs for the date in the next couple of days. I wouldn't be surprised to see them get up tomorrow, Saturday, and even Sunday into the 90s or low 90s in the Champaign Urbana area, and also across most of central and perhaps parts of southern Illinois as well. Now, the normal records for the date for October 5th, 6th, and 7th are around 90 degrees or so, 90, 91 degrees. So we'll be pushing those during this week. And along with that, of course, the weather will be fair and moisture will be increasing, but it will be not just Indian summer, but super summer here for the next few days.
And what's the root cause for our super summer?
Well, we've got this large high-pressure system off the Atlantic coast pumping creating southerly winds pumping heat from the south. There's not much moisture in the air mass as yet, and a combination of warm air and dry air allows for temperatures to really get up there. The polar jet stream is north of the border or right along the border, and so that's where the cold air sits, just north of there. We'll be seeing some of the cooler air work down through the upper Midwest and into the western Corn Belt over the weekend, and showers will start to break out in Iowa probably on Sunday, and the front should push eastward on Monday and Tuesday, produce some showers across Illinois and Indiana, which by this time, by the way, will be very welcome because of dryness. And then behind this system, we'll get back to normal temperatures for the end of the week.
And what are normal temperatures for this time of year?
Oh, normal temperatures are running about 20 degrees colder. The normal max and min for this time of year is about 68 to 70 degrees in Champaign. The normal min's around 45, 46 degrees. And that's pretty much the same as you go south. So that's the normal range, a lot cooler than we're experiencing now.
And then if you turn your attention to South America, have they been a bit on the dry side in the northern regions of the soybean growing areas?
Yes, there is, and it's been dry up there, and they're a little concerned. They need some moisture to get the spring crops planted down there, and it hasn't materialized as yet. The problem is the frontal system, the boundary along which there's a lot of shower activity, has been stuck in the south, and the southern soybean areas are getting too much rain. They've been getting anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rain this past week. They're going to have more this week, and we don't see that rain moving northward anytime really soon. So it's a little too wet in the south to get things going, and it's too dry in the north to get the crop into the ground.
Pete, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoon. And that is today's report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity report. I'm Todd Gleason. Be safe out there during the harvest season. And if you're traveling the byroads with the farmers, remember, those vehicles move slow for a reason. They're big, they're heavy, and if you're behind them and you're coming up fast, they're really dangerous. Give them a little room. I know the farmers are looking out for you. You look out for them, too. Have a great afternoon.